the three temptations of the devil, of Jesus in the wilderness. Next week we will turn to historical material of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read from God's Word in Matthew 4, the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the third temptation that we consider tonight, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The inspired writer Matthew makes this the last of the three temptations. Luke, on the other hand, makes the temptation in Jerusalem in the temple the last temptation. Apparently, each of these inspired writers had their purpose in recording these temptations, and they do not always follow the chronological order when they record the events of Christ. Perhaps Luke wanted to illustrate how the temptation in the temple was the ultimate temptation, and Matthew, not contrary to this, wants to emphasize that this is the ultimate temptation. And it is that especially because in this temptation, Satan takes his mask off. And he suggests that Jesus should fall down and worship him. That's the ultimate devious, wicked temptation of the devil. That's the temptation that he came to the Garden of Eden with when he tempted our first parents, seeking to bring about their fall in order that they would not worship God, but instead follow him. And now the devil imagines that he will also bring down the very Son of God. Through history, according to Revelation 12, the devil has been waiting for the birth of the Messiah in the world, and he had hoped to be able to devour him already when he was born. And when he was not successful in doing that, he came down to earth where Jesus was now living to tempt him, somehow to lead him astray and to destroy him from being the Savior of God's people and realizing the purpose of God. There are mysteries involved also in this third temptation. How are we to understand, for example, where precisely this temptation took place? We are told that the devil brought Jesus to a very high mountain. Where precisely did that take place? And how was the devil able to transport Jesus there? Did they walk a long way to come to this high mountain? Or did he somehow transport Jesus through the heavens? Is the devil able to perform miracles so that he has the power somehow to transport Jesus through the skies, so to speak, to this high mountain? There are many commentaries who suggest that this did not happen literally and bodily. Even John Calvin takes the position that all the time Jesus was in the wilderness, and the temptation in Jerusalem and in the temple took place while Jesus was bodily in the wilderness, but it took place subjectively in the mind of Jesus. Somehow the devil presented these things to Jesus in his mind, and so he also takes the position that somehow, in a mysterious way, the devil presented to Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. The trouble, however, with that position is that it suggests that Jesus has entrance into the mind and heart of Jesus. And we believe that that was not the case. Jesus is the Holy Son of God. He does not have, the devil does not have entrance into the subjective consciousness of Jesus. And so even as we have insisted that all these things are literal, there was a literal desert where Jesus was. There was a literal Satan who appeared in some way to Jesus. There was literally stones in the wilderness. And we believe that somehow the devil literally brought Jesus to the temple. And now in the third temptation, literally and bodily, Jesus is taken to a high mountain. A mountain that is so high that from its summit, you can see the kingdoms of this world. Whether that was a mountain in the land of Palestine or somewhere outside of the land of Palestine, we simply are not told. But somehow, in a mysterious way, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain where he can objectively see the kingdoms of this world and their glory and their power. And he tempts Jesus with these words, "If you bow down and worship me, then all these things will belong to thee. I will give all these things to you." And that was a real temptation for Jesus. Though we believe that Jesus was not able to sin or even able to think any sinful thoughts, the reality of the temptation must be maintained. The temptations involved a mighty struggle for Jesus. And when he resisted these temptations, he gained a victory over Satan. And that victory was not yet the final victory. Nevertheless, it was a foreshadowing of the final victory that the Son of God would have over the devil. And this is for our comfort. For in this world, we live in the midst of the kingdom of darkness, and Satan rages against us in order to destroy us. He does that not in a physical way, but he does that in a spiritual way, to lead us away from God, from the worship and service of God, from the knowledge and truth of God, from the commandments of God, in order that he might destroy us from being children of God. And he cannot do that as long as we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. To him is the victory. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so we consider this third temptation of the devil. Notice how the devil tempted Jesus, first of all. Notice, secondly, how the Lord answered the devil. And finally, the command of Jesus to the devil, "Get thee hence, Satan." The devil tempted Jesus with the imagination that as long as Jesus would fall down and worship him, the devil would give to Jesus all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. Now the question immediately arises, of course, is can the devil even do that? And the answer that we immediately give is this. We have to remember that the devil is a liar. His mode of operation is always deceit. He pretends to be the prince of this world. He boasts of owning the world and of having the power to give the world to whomsoever he wills. And now, as he is tempting Jesus, he boasts that he has the power to give to the Son of God the kingdoms of this world and their glory. You can imagine, as Jesus is standing on this high mountain, and there stretches before him a vision, perhaps of parts of the Roman Empire, the glorious Roman Empire, or if the devil had brought him even to a higher mountain, he could see glimpses of the great kingdoms of this world. Their glory and their power. These were presented by the devil to Jesus as a temptation. The might, the glory, the power, the riches, the art, the wisdom, the philosophy, the science of this world, its buildings, its architecture, its great civilizations, its cultures, the glory of the nations. In our time, of course, that has advanced yet much further. The glory of the nations of the world, their military power, their culture, their inventions, their technology, and on and on and on, their economies, their riches and their powers, their science, and all of the glory of this world. The devil says, fall down before me, and all these things will belong to you. Now, how can the devil even say that in any sense? Because it's a lie. He is certainly not, in any sense, the owner of this world. But he says that simply from this viewpoint, that he is the prince of darkness. Through his evil deception, he has enslaved the peoples of the earth and the kingdoms of this world. He has led them away from God so that they no longer worship God, and so that they are filled with devilish pride, and so that they live in ungodliness, in lust, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, in disobedience, in transgression to all of the commandments of God. And it is in this spiritual way that the scriptures repeatedly speak of this world. Jesus himself speaks of this, of the devil, as the prince of this world. Let me read just a few interesting passages from scripture. There is one in John 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? He is the devil. Jesus has come into this world in order that by his mighty power he might cast out of this world the prince of this world, the liar, the enemy of God, the one who has deceived the world. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the leaders of apostate religion of his day, ye are the children of the devil. The lust of your father, the devil, ye will do. He is a liar from the beginning, and he has deceived the whole world. There's another passage in John 14, similar to this, John 14 and verse 30. Herein I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Each one of these passages are worthy of careful consideration, precisely what they mean. In this sense, as Jesus speaks of it, the devil is the prince of this world. There are other passages in the epistles of Paul that speak of that truth, how that the devil is the prince of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Acts chapter 26 speaks also of this truth, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus is there saying, and this is a quotation from the words of Jesus, that this world has been deceived by the devil. And she walks in darkness. And he has come to deliver his people from the darkness of unbelief and of rebellion and of sin against God. And then just one more passage, and we could look at several more if we had the time, but a familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 6, where the apostle admonishes us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it is in that way that the world and the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms of the ungodly world, follow after the devil. But that is only in God's sovereign permission. Over against that is the mighty truth of Scripture that God has sent his Son into the world to establish his kingdom. Psalm 2 has this to say concerning the decree of God with respect to the kingdoms of this world. "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Jesus had much to say about the truth of the coming of his kingdom. He declared that his kingdom was not of this world. He came into this world in order that he might establish his kingdom, and in order that by his grace in the hearts of his people, by his Spirit, he could cause them to become citizens of that kingdom. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. And after he humbled himself and accomplished the great work of the cross, he was exalted to God's right hand. He was enthroned in the heavens over the kingdom which God would give to him. Now, what is then this temptation all about? How are we to understand? How can the devil tempt Jesus with respect to this kingdom? After all, does not Jesus know the decree of God? Does he not know all the prophecies of the Psalms and of the prophets that prophesied of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ? Surely he does. He certainly knows that Satan is not the sovereign of the kingdoms of this world. Neither does Satan, or neither does Jesus, the Son of God, desire to have the ungodly nations of this world. But that's not the temptation. The precise nature of this temptation is this. Jesus is tempted by the devil that if only he would bow before the devil, then the kingdoms of the world would belong to him. There would be no need of going in the way of the suffering that would lead to the cross. All of the three temptations of the devil focus on that reality. Its purpose, the devil's purpose, was to lead Jesus away from the way of suffering. And that was a hard thing for Jesus. That was a truth that was constantly in his mind through the whole of his earthly ministry, that he would end in having to suffer the shame and agony, the humiliation, the torment of the cross. And it was only in that way that he would become the king of his kingdom. The temptation of the devil is this: listen to me. There's an easier way to the crown. You can have the crown of the kingdom without suffering. Follow me. Bow down and worship me, and none of that will be necessary. That's the wicked temptation of the devil. And from an earthly point of view, from the viewpoint of Jesus' human nature, certainly he desires the fulfillment of God's decree when the kingdoms of this world shall be given to him. That he desires. And the devil tempts Jesus to refuse that way, and rather to walk in the way that is suggested by the devil. That's not the last time that the devil is going to do that. Though there is a very decisive victory here by Jesus, this same temptation will again confront Jesus, and it will confront Jesus from the devil through one of his disciples. When Jesus prophesies in Matthew chapter 16 about the suffering that is going to come, that he will have to give himself up to the elders and the chief priests, and they will kill him. They will crucify him on the accursed tree. Then Peter says, "Far be it from thee, O Lord, that these things should happen to thee." And then Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." That was the point of the temptation. And to the human nature of Christ, that was appealing. He never sinned. He never had a thought of sin in his mind. He didn't desire ungodly kingdoms. He desired the world of the new heavens and the new earth that God, according to his decree, would give to him. He faced the temptation of Satan as a mighty struggle, and he remained obedient unto God. He continued in the way that God had ordained for him, the way that would lead to the cross. But that involved, beloved, a real struggle for Jesus. Never must we imagine that because Jesus was the Son of God, none of these things involved a struggle. It was a mighty struggle in which the devil was always trying to tempt Jesus to forsake the way of the cross. He resisted the devil. He went in the way of the cross, and the promise of God was realized. After the cross, he was exalted to the right hand of God, and he was enthroned in glory. Through the cross, Christ would receive the kingdoms, that God would give him the kingdoms of the new heavens and the new earth. And of that reality, the book of Revelation prophesies repeatedly of the glorious chorus of the Hallelujah chorus speaks of that from Revelation 17 and Revelation 19. The kingdoms of our God and of his Christ have become the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. In the way of the cross, Christ would be exalted, and all the kingdoms of this world would belong to him, and there he would be glorified, and there he would be exalted by God. That would happen only in the way of obedience, and he fulfilled that obedience, first of all, for the glory of God, and secondly, for the salvation of God's people, because he suffered the cross and resisted the temptation of the devil. He is now enthroned in the heavens, and he will come again as the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And by his grace, we are made citizens of that kingdom. Because we are citizens of that kingdom, the devil tempts us. Even today, in this world, follow me, obey me, serve me, and the riches and the glory of this world will belong to you. The pleasures of this world. The world will be yours as long as you fall down and worship me. Those are real temptations that the Christian repeatedly faces in this world. The temptation to disobey the commandments of God, the temptation to live for our own glory and pride, the temptation to follow after the way of the devil that promises riches and glory and pleasure, but a riches and glory and pleasure that is devilish. As citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we are able to resist the devil by our Lord Jesus Christ, who has the victory over the devil. The Lord Jesus answers the devil's temptations. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the issue. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the calling. That's the purpose for which Christ was sent into the world, that he could deliver us from the kingdoms of this world and make us to be citizens of the kingdom of God and of his Christ, that we might worship and serve him who alone is God, who is the sovereign of heaven and earth, and that in that way we might experience, might be made partakers of the riches and the glory of the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ that shall appear in the new heavens and the new earth. But we must be ready, as Jesus teaches in Matthew 16 too, that in order to inherit that kingdom, we are called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. The way of the world is tempting. Its pleasures, its philosophy, its lifestyle, its following after the lie of the devil. The calling of the child of God is to follow Christ, to look to Jesus, the mighty Lord of his glorious kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus established through his cross and resurrection is far more glorious and wonderful than all of the kingdoms of this world. He shall appear at the end of this age as the King of glory, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings, and he will cause us to enter into his everlasting and glorious kingdom. In order to do that, we are called to resist the temptations of Satan, keeping our eyes and our hearts fixed upon the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and remembering that he has gained the victory over the devil, and we are by faith in him partakers of that victory. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. He that is in the world, the prince of darkness, he is conquered by Jesus Christ, and he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And by his word and by his power, we resist him and we escape his devilish temptations. That's the promise. That's the blessedness of this glorious victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and will be the blessedness of his final victory. After this temptation, Jesus says to the devil, "Get thee hence, Satan." And by the power of his word, as the Son of God, Satan is chased away. And he leaves. He leaves as the proverbial dog with his tail between his legs. He is defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that he cannot overcome the mighty Son of God. He rages now against his people, imagining that he can steal them away from the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will never be able to do that when we look unto Christ and the victory of Christ in the cross over all of the powers of Satan. After these temptations, the devil goes away. He's going to try again. He will try fiercely when Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross. But Jesus has triumphed over him, spoiling principalities and powers by dying on the cross and by accomplishing the righteousness of God. When Jesus says, "Get thee hence, Satan," these words are words of contempt. Jesus is speaking to the enemy of God, and he speaks in holy anger against the enemy of God. "Get thee hence, Satan." And that's the word that we must speak to Satan and all of his temptations. By the power of the word of Christ and the cross and exaltation of Christ, we are delivered from the temptations of Satan. After the last temptation, the devil goes away. And we read in our text that God sent his angels to minister to Jesus. Again, there are many mysteries of how that took place. Where did it take place? Did it take place in the desert? Did Jesus return to the desert? Did it take place on the high mountain? We are not told the details. We are told that the angels of God wondrously came to Jesus to minister unto him. And this in itself was a proof of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. How did they minister to Jesus? No doubt they ministered to him by feeding him. For he was hungry because of the trials that he faced in the temptation. But it was much more than that. They ministered to him the power, the encouragement of the Word of God. They strengthened him for the work that was before him in order that he finally might accomplish the great work of God to establish the everlasting kingdom of glory. And what a beautiful truth this is. A truth that also applies to the comfort of those who belong to Jesus and who stand against the devil. The victory is ours. In the midst of the trials and the temptations of the devil, we look to Jesus for his strength. And through faith in him, we have the blessed assurance of the victory that belongs to Jesus Christ, and that we shall forever be the glorious citizens of the kingdom which he realized through his suffering and death on the cross and by his exaltation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for this mysterious and wonderful event that took place in the life of Jesus on earth. We thank thee that it is recorded in the scriptures in order that we might know from this history also the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is mighty to conquer Satan, and that he actually went forth in the way which thou hast ordained to accomplish that victory through his suffering and death on the cross. And he is now the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Through faith in him, we also have the victory over the devil and all of his temptations. And we are, through that faith, citizens of his glorious kingdom. May we realize the blessedness of that kingdom and resist the wicked temptations of the devil in all of our life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.